is an ordinance to amend the text and maps of Chapter 13, mobility element of the comprehensive plan, in addition to amendments to the existing and future land use maps of the comprehensive plan in relation to tax parcel number 235-16.00-50.02, parcel 235-22.00441, and 442.
Thank you. As Mr. Chairman, as you've read the short title, I just need to add the address. But the property is lying on the west side of Coastal Highway, which is Route 1 west of the intersection of Coastal Highway and Eagles Crest Road, which is Sussex County Route 264. The 911 address is 29763 Eagles Crest Road, Milton. And before I summarise this for the benefit of the Commission, Mr. Chairman, just to say that submitted into the record, we have copies of letters received on behalf of the property owners, a copy of the proposed ordinance introduced at County Council on June 7th of this year. We have a copy of the property owner's presentation and documents that have been submitted. We have a copy of the county's plus submission and a copy of the plus comments that were received from the State Planning Office dated July 22nd of last year. We also have a copy of the Delaware Private Use Airports and Heliports document dated August 2007. We also have a copy of the property owner's exhibits. We have a copy of the technical assessment submitted on behalf of Century Engineering for Sussex County. We also have a copy of the update to the technical assessment for Century Engineering. That document was received after publication of your paperless packets, Mr. Chairman, and has been circulated on paper on your desks before you. I would note that we received one letter of comment, which was included in your paperless packets, and no mail returns. The application has, so the ordinance has been noticed, and if I can provide a short overview, it's a two-page ordinance. It's a relatively straightforward ordinance in two sections, accompanied by some exhibits. The ordinance is split into three sections that essentially proposes to, it was to provide some history, first of all. The ordinance was received following, so the request to amend the comprehensive plan of Sussex County was received following the adoption of the comprehensive plan, which was approved by County Council in December of 2018 and certified by the Governor in spring of 2019. Following that, the department received a request on behalf of the property owners for a corrective amendment to the comprehensive plan of Sussex County, and that letter is included in your paperless packets. Following that, there was discussion with the land property owners, and a plus submittal was sent to the State Planning Office summarising the request, and which we received plus comments back. Following that, there was some back and forth with the property owner to craft an ordinance and prepare an ordinance, which was introduced in the summer of this year. And essentially, there are three parts to the ordinance. The first relates to the future land use map of Sussex County, which is an element of the comprehensive plan. And the request is for the parcels listed to change the designation from low density to industrial. The second part of the request relates to the existing land use map of the county, and for those same parcels as listed in the ordinance, the request is to change it from the utilities and or recreational designation to the industrial for the existing land use map. And then the third element of the ordinance relates to Chapter 13 within the comprehensive plan, and the request is to add the airport icons to recognise the airports as shown in the exhibits B and C, which are included in your paperless packets. And basically what this does is that it adds an airport icon for the existing airport where none currently exists, and that is included in two exhibits for two different inset maps within the comprehensive plan. The property owner is here today to answer any questions that you may have. Also, Mr. Chairman, just to assist, we have asked colleagues from Delaware Department of Transportation to also be present in case there's any technical questions on airfields. And also, Century Engineering assisted the office with the technical assessment and the update to the technical assessment. We have Mr. Drew Boyce from Century Engineering here as well in case there's any technical questions. But that's a summary of the ordinance, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
So just can I make a couple points real quick?
Sure.
One is this is somewhat unusual in terms of what you all have seen. Council sees this more Century. They're one of our contracted engineering firms. So Century's not working for anybody else. They're working for us on this. You know, as I said, that's somewhat unusual that we get our own opinion on things. So I just wanted to make that clear. Just to summarize, Mr. Whitehouse, I think it might be easier if we say that the request is for a map amendment to make the runway, I'm going to summarize, the runway and the hangar area identified as industrial, so that's one thing. The second is the icons on the map to show the little airplanes. Mm-hmm. And the third is to amend some actual of the text within the plans to reference the Hudson Airport.
Thank you. That's a good summary.
Okay.
Thank you.
That was a whole lot of words. I sound like a lawyer.
I should have just started with that, Mr. Chair.
Thanks. Sorry. But it was an accurate summary, but that boils it down. Thanks.
Okay. Well, who's up?
Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission and staff, for the record, John Pardee with the law firm Barrett Mandalas, Brockstedt, Federico and Cardia. I want to start by thanking Jamie and the staff for helping us marshal this through. It's something that we've been working on ever since the comp plan was amended in 2018. Of course, there was some turnover in the planning office, and we had to think about how to present this in the most efficient way. And so Jamie was a terrific help in that. And so thank you very much. And Vince and Jamie gave an excellent summary. So there's really not too much for me to say. I'll try to be as concise and efficient as possible. We do have a PowerPoint that I think, okay, terrific. So I'll let you know when we're ready to run through that. But I'll give you our quick 2-cent summary. The first two map amendments that we are requesting are simply housekeeping, I would submit, because we're trying to correct certain designations that were made by the 2018 comp plan in error, in the sense that they eliminated pre-existing designations that had been set forth in the 2008 comprehensive plan. And then they were changed, we believe, by mistake in 2018. And that's essentially in the existing land use map. It had previously identified the airstrip and the hangars as an industrial area. And the 2018 plan changed that to utilities and recreation. And then the future land use map changed it to low density area. So we're just simply trying to correct those. I don't think there's anything controversial about it. We're not trying to do anything other than recognize the historical use of the property. The other two amendments that we seek, as Jamie and Vince indicated, are just simply adding an icon to two maps in Chapter 13 of the comp plan. And I'll get into that in a little bit. I think you'll hear some comment from some folks who live around the area that have some expertise on that. So if we can go through the PowerPoint, Jamie, the first slide just shows you the site location. I think everybody's familiar. The second picture on this slide actually shows the outline of the airstrip and the hangar area. And that's the only part of this property that we're talking about. We're not talking about designating any other part of the property as industrial, just the airstrip and the hangar area. So the next slide shows that in a little greater detail. And you can see that we're proposing to amend the existing and future land use maps to show this area kind of an L shape as the industrial area. The next slide shows a 1992 aerial view. The next slide shows a 2007 aerial view. And you can see not really anything has changed. The next slide identifies all of the particular tax parcels on the property, and the area that we're asking to be designated as industrial on these maps is all of Parcel 5, part of Parcel 9, and part of Parcel 10. The next slide shows some photographs going back to the 50s. I think it's well established as a matter of record that this property has been used as an airport for decades. The next slide shows some more photographs to that effect. And by the way, I apologize, I should have mentioned, for the record, since it's not clear, Christian and Jamin Hudson are here as well if you have any questions about the history of the airport. The next slide shows the 2008 comp plan map, and this is where the area in question was in fact designated as industrial. That was correct. The next slide shows that it was changed to rural low density utilities and recreation area in 2018. The next slide is the future map, also showing what was changed in 2018. If you go to the next slide, these are the maps in Chapter 13 of the plan. One is the just shows the overview of the Sussex County transportation system, and then the next slide is similar, but it's a little more detailed. It shows actually airports, ferries, and navigable waterways specifically. So on these two maps, these last two maps, we're asking that there be an icon placed to identify Eagle Crest as an airport in the comprehensive plan. Now, the next slide kind of gives you a little bit of the more recent history, the timeline, and you see that in May of 2018, we went to the Board of Adjustment and got them to formally recognize the grandfathered use of this property as an airport. And it wasn't long after that that the comp plan was adopted in March of 2019. And unfortunately, this mistake that we're trying to correct was made. So the very next month, April of 2019, we submitted correspondence to the county, and we've been working with the staff since. So last slide is questions, but let me, before I get to your questions, just tell you very briefly, as I mentioned, the first two amendments with regard to the designation for industrial, those corrections we would submit are necessary to accurately reflect the historic, present, and future use of the property for an airport, runway, taxiways, hangars, and related airport facilities. If that change is not made, frankly, it would appear to be like that use was taken away from us, because it was recognized in the 2008 plan very clearly, and then it was changed. We're not sure why, but we just want to change back. So we view that as simply housekeeping. With regard to the two maps in Chapter 13 with the airport icons, we would submit to you that the focus of the comprehensive plan in locating these icons on the mats should be on the impactfulness of the airport from a land use planning perspective. And trying to suggest that, well, only public airports should be shown, we think is a mistake, because that distinction is really meaningless in the airport world. And you'll hear from someone who will testify a little bit more about that. But for example, the Laurel Airport is a public airport, but it's tiny compared to Hudson Fields. There's, you know, some question about whether or not Dover Air Force Base is public or private. It's, you know, technically functions as a private airport because you have to have permission to land there, and there's a whole process that you have to go through to actually land there. But really, that is not the important distinction. The important distinction is, what is the impact? How many planes are going through there? How big is it? What kind of impact does it have on the surrounding community? That's what you should be considering in land use planning. You would want, as planners, as state agencies, and as members of the public who are trying to figure out what uses are appropriate in this area, I would think one of the things you would want to know is, hey, the second largest airport in Kent County, or in Sussex County, is right here. It's the fifth largest airport in the state of Delaware. I would think you would want to know, as a land use planner, that that's there. So when the public and planners, state agencies, look at your comp plan and they consider different applications in the area, oh yeah, light bulb, don't forget there's this big airport there. So that's why we're suggesting that this should be done. That said, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, and Christian and Jamin are here as well to answer questions. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. I want to start with a question from the staff. A couple things have come to mind. First of all, what process do we engage in now to permit a private airstrip, or is it just permitted in an AR1 zone?
If a new airstrip came in an AR1 zoning district, we'd most likely come in through as a conditional use application.
Okay.
It depends if it's obviously here we have a non-conforming use that's been confirmed to be a non-conforming use, but if a brand new one came in, conditional use.
Where I'm headed with this discussion is that I don't have issues with this. I mean, I was around in 2008 and 2018, and I don't know how these things happen, because it was not discussed. And I mean, I don't ever remember this being an item of discussion.
Maybe they just saw the soccer fields.
No, but I think it probably I don't think it was discussed, but somebody in the drafting of it was looking at the distinctions of types of airports and jumped to a conclusion. And
I
don't know.
I understand.
Maybe.
My concern is whatever we do here is going to impact every other private airport that we have. And that's my other question. How many are there?
Well,
how many private airstrips are there in Sussex County?
I don't know that that's the case, because there's two points that one is the change in the land use, future land use map to industrial. And that's unique to this one, you know, because of the history of it, I think, if I understand Mr. Pardee right. You know, so that's not going to trigger anything for all the other ones. then looking at centuries, you know, it's kind of like if you're on the other map with a little airplane icon.
Yeah.
We do have a list of them from the inventory that's in the packet. It would be, do you single out this one, or do you just put the airplane icons for all the ones on that list? Which I don't think,
you all don't have an issue with that. I would think you would do it for all of them. And I do think, I agree that there is a uniqueness to this one that goes back a long way. How that ever got turned around, I'll never tell you, but you know, but I'm also thinking about every other person who has a private airstrip that
they might not want their airplane on there, but
I mean, I think the thing that no one's mentioned yet, but I think is a fair statement, is that with the pace of development all over Sussex County, if there's a use that's happening now, we have done a good job over the years of protecting people who were there first. If you were there first, you were there first. If that chicken house was there and you built a house next to it, well, that chicken house is going to be there, right? You know? And I would feel the same way about the airstrips. And I think that there's would be some concern, and if I were an airstrip person, I would have some concern that as the pace of development continues, that somehow or another, somebody at some point may try to take that away from me. So I think the icon designation, and from that aspect, even though there might be those who don't want, I don't know, why would you want somebody to not know that you had an air? I mean, airstrip's kind of hard to hide, and then the plane comes along. You know, but I think you would want people to know.
Well, and the perfect example is we've had a couple of recent applications where,
yes,
on the applicant's design drawings, there, you know, in their submission, there was no reference to an airport or an airstrip nearby, and residents came in and said, you know, there's an airstrip nearby, and the commission's put essentially what's the ag use protection notice in there and catered it towards the airstrip so that people would be on notice of that occurring. But if it was on a map, everybody would know it.
Well, and that's what I'm getting at. I think what's being proposed makes a lot of sense from on all those counts, and I understand where, you know, that there's this differentiation between public and private, but I don't know how. I think it's more important that we know where all the planes are coming and going. I just think it's
regardless of designations or whatever.
Yeah. Didn't mean to not.
No, I agree.
I agree with you.
I think we might want to do a different color for a private versus a public, okay, so somebody doesn't look at the map
all
and
right.
go,
I can land.
Oh, I can fly into
Corman's
Airport. Well, no,
yeah,
you can't.
You don't. So, yeah, you don't want to create the impression that the strip is available for use. So I think that's a great idea. One color for public, another color for private.
We have
unless
Mr.
you pick the colors.
How
about that?
Mr. Wheeling,
yes, sir.
You know, we're talking about this, and frankly, I don't know that, I'll admit myself, I don't know the details of it. But again, we've got information from Century, and Mr. Boyce is here. If we could call him up and just see if we're off track or on track, or should be on a different track.
So if you like, we can do that right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Boyce, if you want to come up and chat with us a little bit about your missive here.
He's got to introduce himself. Last time he was here, he was working for somebody else. So.
Yeah, that's all right.
Good evening. Drew Boyce with Century Engineering, consultant to Sussex County.
Planning. Okay. If you could maybe just give us a little summary of a letter that you submitted, and then if you could respond to the discussion you've heard so far this evening, we would appreciate that.
Sure. So Jamie contacted our office wanting some technical interpretation of DLDOT's comments concerning the public use airports versus private airports. So public use versus private airports. And so we provided a technical assessment on kind of distinctions between the two. Historically, the comprehensive plan, if you go all the way back to 2008, it talked about public use airports, private airports, and the language was a little bit more broader. In the 2018 update, it just specifically talks about public use airports and identified the two public use airports that are currently in Sussex County. And so basically we provided the technical assessment of the distinction between the two and then provided some recommendations for planning and zoning and council to consider in this comp plan amendment application, of which, you know, really it's a technical, we just want the our recommendations to the to this body were just that it should be technically correct. So in your discussion here, distinguishing between public use airports and private airports seems right and appropriate. I think the discussion here that airports bring value to the economic growth and can provide benefits to the county in that specific land use that's designated are all right and appropriate for a comprehensive plan. So I'll take any questions.
So it sounds like in 2008 we had it more right than we did in 2018, because it talked about both broadly enough that it covered the situation.
The maps were still distinct in that they only showed the little icon.
Yeah, right.
You know, for those public use.
Okay, all right. No, I appreciate that. It sort of helps.
Okay. Any more questions for Mr. Boyce?
Nope, you did a great job.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take a seat, but don't go too far. Don't leave yet. We might need you again. Okay.
Any other questions for the applicant?
We're going to find out. Ms. Hoyt-Stevenson, anything else? Mr. Hopkins?
No
questions. Any questions?
No, I just have a comment. I was surprised to see the main Warrington field still on there.
Housing development there now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. probably take that one off.
Yeah, it's not listed to be taken off though, but yeah, that was a lot of good information on there. I didn't realize there were so many in the county.
Okay, there you go.
Have any
sort? Anything?
I'd leave it just in case those houses go away someday.
You never can't tell. Make the land thing. Okay, we'll ask you then. Thank you for taking a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in this ordinance. Is there anyone here that would like to speak either in favor of or in opposition to, or just want to make a comment on
this
application?
Podium.
Yeah,
Mr. Wheatley, we also have Del Dot here too.
Yeah. Good evening.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Good evening. My name is John Chertia. I live at Eagle Crest Aerodrome, and I just like to make a little analogy of Eagle Crest Aerodrome compared to all these other airports that you've been thinking about and talking about. We're the diamond among the little glass beads of airports in Sussex County. It's an incredible airport. I'm president of the association. We have 26 properties on the airport, and all you have to do is fly over each one. And I've flown into every one of these other airports, and there's just essentially no comparison to it when you look at Eagle Crest Aerodrome. The Hudsons have been in amazingly cooperative with us as they created the airport, and we're there, we use it, and we love it. Okay. So we urge your support of this request from them. I'd just like to recognize a few of our neighbors here that have managed to stick it out with you and me.
All right, well, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay, anyone else? Okay. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Jeff King. I live, if I remember my address, 29577 Eagle Crest Road. I'm an aircraft owner. Of course, I own a home on Eagle Crest Airport, and I have an access easement to the runway property, as does all the other residents do. I want to add to John Chertia's comment that this is what's called an air park. So it's not some guy with a private airstrip. It's, I believe, 26 or 27 homes that have access to the airstrip. It's actually pretty unique in the country. I moved here from Michigan in March. I looked all over the country for a property like this. Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, New Hampshire, Florida, Georgia, I think even Virginia. We found one air park in Delaware, it was this one, and we decided we liked it, and when a home came up, we purchased it. So it's unique. It is indeed unique. I said I moved here in March. Well, 3 months later, there's a big sign up. I'm panicking. you know, as to what's going on here. I thought we were going to lose the runway. I'm new to your politics. I don't know what's going on. So I do want to thank Mark Schaefer, Jamie Whitehouse, Christian Hudson, and John Party for putting me at ease that the property I just spent $800,000 on is not going to not be able to access the runway anymore. I want to talk a little bit more about the decision matrix that I heard come from DDOT. This is private versus public, but I mentioned I'm a business owner, but I've also been involved on two public airport boards, the Hillsdale, Michigan airport, a public airport, I was the chair of it, and most recently the Hall of Michigan airport, I was a member. We had like a $7 million budget. It was about the same size as Georgetown. I'm pretty familiar with airport issues, including land conflicts. My concern, I think Mr. Pardee touched on it, is that private versus public license as a decision point does not reflect at all land use. It really doesn't, and in particular with Eagle Crest. This Eagle Crest, with the amount of based aircraft, how many airplanes are actually on the airport? It's the fifth largest in the entire state, private or public, and the second largest in the county. If this board is looking for, you know, you can have your airport on the map and you can't, I think a good basis would be Laurel Public Airport. They're the smallest public airport in the state. They have seven airplanes based on there and a 3,100-foot runway, whereas Eagle Crest has a 3,500-foot runway and I believe 23 airplanes based on it. I did provide a spreadsheet if you want to look at it. It's in a packet. It's really about planning for the future. I lived in a community that had an airport issue 30 years ago. It was in farmland. They didn't plan. They didn't tell anyone about the airport. And 30 years later, the community was in an uproar about it. You have an opportunity to say, hey, you know, to people coming in, there is an airport here. It's noisy. You may want to be aware of it. What we do today makes a difference. I want to thank you very much. I do support the Hudson's proposal. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks. I was remiss in not asking our friends from Delta to come up and have say a few words. We do want to hear from them as to what their thoughts are in regard to this whole matter. So please come on up. And thank you for making the trip. Everybody's been here for 3.5 hours already. And we really appreciate you being here. So.
Oh, sure. Always appreciate the chance to get down south here.
Okay.
Thank you. That's Dover, so I'm out of jurisdiction. But
we all know who you are, but we need you to introduce yourself.
Yes. Steve Baer, DelDOT Planning Supervisor within statewide and regional planning.
Okay.
Good evening, Council. Director, White House, good to see you always. Mm-hmm. DelDOT has no official position on this ordinance.
Okay.
We want to make ourselves available as an informational resource and only offer the encouragement that what appears in the final plan in terms of symbology and text that accompanies it be factually accurate.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well, I think we can accommodate that, and I think that is something that we all agree on, which is a happy circumstance.
And if I could just comment real quickly, Jennifer Sinelli from Dada Planning.
Yeah.
I am kind of offended that the spaceship was not included in the pictures. That is my childhood memory of driving to the beach every summer. I was part of the planning for the comprehensive plan back in 2018. And again, the mobility chapter was directly our responsibility.
So were you the one that changed that designation?
I was not. Not at all. No, because we didn't do the land use.
I'm pretty sure nobody's going to own
it. No. So we were looking at, again, it was called the mobility chapter. We were looking at public mobility how to move people across the state. So, again, we didn't, as you said, we have no objection, and I loved Kim's resolve for the Congress.
I think it's a great, so that's a good solution.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anybody else from the public who wish to speak? Yes, sir. Come on up. Wait till you get to the microphone. There you go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe Larimore. I live at 15159 Hudson Road, Milton, Delaware. I live, if you're looking at the map of the final thing, they got 50.02. Is that on there?
But we can.
I can zoom in.
Pretty sure we can find it.
It's the north end of the seal. Go north that way. All right.
Other way.
The other north.
Other way.
That way, that way. You're going.
Keep that one.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I own, their grandfather, Joe, and myself bought parcel 50, 51, 52, and 53 jointly back in 2005. Prior to that, Joe had leased that property from a guy named Otis Clifton.
Yeah.
The people across the street were going to develop that. When I heard that, I went to them, the developers, and I went into an agreement to buy that 9 acres there. Then I solicited their grandfather to come in with me, because I didn't have enough money. And we bought it together, and I ended up with parcel 50. And my only concern is, I'm going to build a retirement home on lot 50, and I'm going to be butting up against 5002, which is going to be, if I'm correct, is that industrial zoning?
No, it wouldn't be industrial zoning. It's just a land use map designation.
It's not going to be.
No.
Okay, that's the only concern I have.
That's a whole separate process.
That's a very important question to ask, though, and a very important distinction that needs to be made. That being designated as industrial on the comprehensive plan is not a zoning designation. It's not. There's no. There's still not anything else that can be there except what's permitted in the AR zone.
Unless they come in.
Unless they come in and make an application and all that.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're certainly welcome. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, operator, is there anybody standing by who has an interest in this ordinance who would like to speak?
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Okay, commissioners, any other comments, thoughts, questions?
I just have one comment. It's more of a procedural one. If right. You know, so we've got an ordinance, right? But to try to, it's going to sound like I'm not trying to streamline this, but I think I am. What I think the commission should do, if you're inclined to act favorably upon it, is designate in the findings of whatever motion you make what the changes are and specifically what the changes to the text will be. In other words, in quotes, this is what it's going to say. Because the problem is, or the issue is, if you adopt the ordinance and say the comp plan should be changed, I think that runs it back through a whole other public hearing process because you're going to have hearings on the actual text. And I think we can avoid that if we just do it all at once and whatever change you're going to want to make to the text of it, which may take some time. Don't look for that next meeting. You know?
Okay, and point well taken, though. I mean, our friends from DelDOT hit the nail on the head, though. It all has to match. It all has to conform. And it, you know, we need to be consistent because if we're not, that's what will get us.
Yeah,
that's how we'll get hung up later. So
I don't want to do it twice
to,
either. Yeah,
and if you need some time to figure that out, I'm sure the commission will accommodate you. So, okay.
Yep.
Anything else? Any other questions? If not, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if you make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
Phones? Phones?
Did we do the phones on that one?
Yeah, we did. All right, commissioners, that completes our agenda for this evening. So referring back to our first public hearing, and that was subdivision 2021-31, Glenwood. Hey, guys, we're still having a meeting here, so knock it off. All right. That was subdivision 2021-31, Glenwood, now known as Black Oak. Ms. Holly Stevenson, what is your pleasure?
To make a motion to defer for further consideration.
Second.
Okay, it's moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2021-31, Glenwood, now known as Black Oak. Counselor, do we have to call the roll for a deferral?
No, not on deferral. No,
all right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item was conditional use number 2316. Southern Delaware Medical Center, LLC.
Anybody have any questions or discussion?
No, thank you.
I'd make a motion to defer for further consideration.
Second.
It's
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2316 Southern Delaware Medical Center LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2356 Sun Massey's Landing RV LLC.
All right. Oh, this one. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing, just first preliminary? If Mr. Whitehouse got that email, can you just circulate it to everybody? Just, you know, with the picture of the RV dimension. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to get that on the record.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
So,
you're the one who worked on this last time it came in.
Right. So the question is, once you know, I think it's wonderful that we have a little tag in the trailer, in the thing that says what it used to be. But at some point, once it starts sprouting legs and adding on, you know, things everywhere and anchored to the ground, I don't know that tag means a whole lot anymore. At what point does it not mean a lot anymore?
Because you're talking about the size?
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's five, as far as I'm concerned, it's 500 square feet. So now 499 point something square feet or 500, and that goes over top of the limit. And I think instead of paying that tax to motor vehicle from now on, they're not going. They're saying they never. They're going to take the tires off and take the hitch off the front, probably, and they're not planning on driving it down the road anymore. And we should be getting those taxes.
I agree. Well, then would a compromise be instead of? I mean.
But here's the thing. I don't think we would get those taxes because it wouldn't be. It's nobody would. I guess theoretically is because DMV, if they just stopped paying and there wasn't any title to it, it goes away. But it's not going to be considered a manufactured home because it's just not. I mean, you know, there was no building permit for it or anything like that.
Well, when you say a manufactured home, I mean, it's no longer an RV. So then if it's not an RV and it's not a manufactured home, what is it then?
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I think it falls through the cracks.
This is going to all get, that's all going to be part of that same discussion. It really comes down to those square footage numbers.
Yeah. And how do you qualify it once the porch has been added to it?
And that's a great question that the ordinance probably doesn't adequately address. So would be something to work on.
There's a lot of campgrounds with park models year round.
And they're paying
I don't know.
This is a question. Are they paying somebody for the
taxes? They're paying. They're probably still paying a registration fee to Motor V, but they're not paying property tax to the.
The park owner would be based on the.
Well, the
park
owner, and the land. Number, but yeah. The piece you're not getting is the value of the.
So would they be better
structure.
Off just asking for conditional
use? So we are getting
taxed
out of it.
Well, we're not.
It's on us.
We're not getting taxed off the unit that's sitting there. We're getting taxed based on the land that the park owns, you know, the individual lot.
Yeah, what does it cost? $80,000? What would the tax be? You know?
I don't know.
So, well, part of the reason they made it move it because it was in a flood zone, a special flood zone, right? A storm zone. So, I mean, if they just said we'd like to have a conditional use to be able to store, make an RV storage area on the property for 6 months out of the
and
year.
I don't want to misquote it. That might be something that Mr. Whitehouse can research, but I seem to recall that was the case originally. It had to be stored on the site outside of the special flood hazard, but way back when it was first approved. But I don't want to, that needs to be verified.
Well,
and I don't know what led to it being then hauled off site if that was the case.
I mean, they keep
it goes
moving.
Way back for
and,
me on the.
I mean, I got to be completely honest with you. I don't give a rat's patootie if they make it year-round and everybody lives in it. I mean, we need places for people to live in this county. So, but
affordable
places for people to live. But okay, dealing with the ordinances we have now, they made a good argument. So I'm just trying to figure out what the issue is, why this one is so special compared to others.
Well, I mean, I haven't had others. This is the only one that I've had, and if there is like case precedent that they're everywhere, and if you're asking why am I picking on this one, that might be a legitimate question.
I mean, at Eagle, the one that's next to Eagle's Nest Church, those RVs are there all the time. They have porches built on them. They're not going anywhere.
Treasure Beach, same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a better reference, I think, is 3 miles southeast of the location of this park is another park right on the bay, same flooding risk, and they have park models year-round. on Route 54, there's one with the same flooding risk. They have park models year-round.
Well, this particular...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's all
I have. This particular applicant, though, testified that they don't do year-round. They don't want year-round.
Well, and that's a condition of the original RPZ, or the original campground.
Right. So
the units stay there.
Yeah. That's how we adopted the ordinance, is my point. That's why the ordinance is the way it is.
I think
Mr. Chairman, these two campgrounds I was referring to close the end of October and open May 1st. But the park models stay year-round.
Well, okay. All right. So they're...
And they're in the same flood zone type of condition.
Yeah. Well, good question. We're not being consistent.
All we ask is equality.
But I mean, it just seems like
That sounds like an argument to grant the request, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the argument to grant the request. I'm okay with it.
It's a for-profit enterprise, and currently it's costing, they said, at least $150,000 a year to move them in and move them out. And they are paying taxes to the state. It seems like there should be some benefit.
Should we get a slice of this?
Yeah, we should get a piece of it. That's exactly what I think.
I'm sure absorbing those costs for disconnecting.
Yeah. Well.
Not the landowner, but the RV owner. I would suggest is.
People are coming to pay the cost of disconnecting and reconnecting.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm out in left field. Maybe it's late and I'm tired and I'm out in left field. But I mean, when they come and assess your place, do they only assess the land?
No, recently, I agree with you with the taxes. That's why I asked if the thing went through the DMV.
Or have they assessed the buildings?
That's
too?
Where I was going with that.
No, I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah, that's the whole point of it. I mean,
does it upgrade the property value?
I mean, I just think if it's permanent, it's permanent. I mean, if you're not moving it, you're not moving it, so it becomes part of the land, you know?
Well, yeah, I think, though, the issue is if it's under 450 square feet right now, it can't be considered a residence because that's the minimum size for manufactured home.
But it
wouldn't be assessed because it wouldn't be considered a home at all.
But when they come out and assess your home, do they measure the house, and do they not measure the porch?
Yeah, they would. I would think.
So the porch is part of the overall square footage.
But when they consider the square footage of my house, they consider the part of the house that is heated.
No.
Yeah,
no, it's heated square footage.
Yeah, not right. If it's just an open porch, it wouldn't be. Yeah.
Okay, so then that helps. So then what you're saying is it isn't 499 square feet.
I don't think it is. Okay. I don't think the porches count.
That's why I asked if we could get that emailed to everybody so we'd see that drawing and know what we're dealing with.
Porches, okay. Well, that's fine. If the way you qualify the square feet is heated, well, I'm good with that. So it's less than the 450.
Yeah. All right. So, Stevenson, what's your point?
Oh, yeah, let's make a motion to defer on that one, obviously. Seconded.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2356, Sun Massey's Landing RV LLC. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1963, ES Motors Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we defer for further consideration.
I second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on change of zone number 1963, ES Motors Incorporated. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks. Okay, an ordinance to amend the text, so on and so forth.
Can I ask a question on this one? It'll help give me some guidance and hopefully save some time for everybody. You know, you're not voting on it, but at least sort of is there some head nod that you're inclined to act in favor of this? So, because what I want to do, if that's the case, to not spin our wheels too much, is start working on, like I said, the proposed actual changes to the comp plan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I mean, you guys are going to have to sign off on that, but I want to at least get something.
No, it's fine, but you need time to put it together in a way that it's not going to get challenged later and all that good stuff.
Just go back to 2008.
Well, I've got the 2008 plan. I'll look at what that said and probably work with Century, you know, and also DelDOT just to make sure that it's factually accurate. I think what we need to do is not get, like, the point was made that the comp plan should be a planning tool, not a tool designated, you know, down in the weeds what kind of airport it is. So we just need to be general enough to show the airport so that everybody knows they're there, there's an airport there, and use it for planning purposes. and not be so specific that we get all tripped up in details.
Well, whatever we come up with, and I think we should extend it to every airstrip in the county, is that it needs to somehow be designated and shown in the plan so that everybody knows it was there first.
I agree.
You know, and that regardless of what the development pressure is, that's, you know, that's, it's there. Yeah. It's there.
Yep. Okay. Got it.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
So somebody needs to make a motion
to defer for further consideration.
A second.
Okay, so let's move second to defer action on the ordinance to amend the text and maps of Chapter 13. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that completes our agenda for the evening. Mr. White House, any updates, comments, words of wisdom to hold us over until we meet again?
Nothing for me. I'm good, thank you.
All right, anyone else?
I just have one real quick question that actually looking at the map made me think of. It has nothing to do with airstrips. How do we do the event ordinance thing again? Who makes the determination as to who can have an event somewhere for 3 days? Is that just you?
Correct. So that actually, when that comes in, it's submitted to our website. It actually goes, once it's submitted, it comes to me and others, like Mr. Marshall looks at it from an EMT perspective. So there's a review of that. Actually, it's part of our land use docket management system. We're actually going to create a new way of storing that information and perhaps making it more public than it is right now.
I was curious, someone had called me and asked about, you know, why some things are allowed and some things aren't, and some things don't seem to matter. So that's why I was curious.
I think about 80% of them are actually in town that come in. And there are certain locations where they're actually permitted by rights, like Americana Bayside, but they submit anyway to go through the EMT review process. So.
Okay, anything else?
Next meeting, can we turn the air down?
So cold.
Yes.
All right. We stand adjourned. Peace and harmony prevailing.